Hi there, I'm Paul Irwin, and welcome to the Pros.com podcast, where we discuss all of the relevant issues to help you succeed as a freelance translator or interpreter. We cover sales and marketing, translation techniques, CAT tools, and much, much more. Find out more at anchor.fm/pros. Hey there, Paul here, and welcome to episode 24 of the Pros.com podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about websites, about why you should have a website, about how to create a website, and how to update that website on a regular basis. If you'd like to find out more about the course that is related to this, which is called How to Set Up a Website and Build Your Translation Brand Online, then check out training.pros.com. Right, well, let's talk about websites, because I think there's a lot of questions around this particular topic, and a lot of translators have websites, a lot of translators would like to have a website, a lot of people have a website that they don't really feel produces for them. So let's try and answer some of those questions. And I think the first question I'd like to jump into is why should you have a translator website in the first place? Why should you have a website? And I think it comes down to how you work as a translator. And I think the only reason you wouldn't have a website is if you work exclusively for agencies and you have some agency contacts, you have some agency jobs, and you really don't need to do any marketing to direct clients. So you in that case, you might be okay having a LinkedIn profile and a pros.com profile. So just as with many other things, there's no absolute correct answer. And you don't absolutely have to have a website to be successful as a translator. So that's the first thing. If you work for agencies, you have a great LinkedIn profile, and you have a great pros.com profile, then that is one way of doing it. However, for most translators, I think you are going to need a website. And I think it's just going to help you as your career progresses. And it is going to help attract clients from different parts of the world, is going to help you attract direct clients, is going to increase your online footprint, is going to increase your profile, is going to help people to take you more seriously, and so on and so on and so on. So I think you really do need to have a website in most cases. And if you get to that point of believing that you do need a website, then I think the next step is to go ahead and create one and get one, because it really can make a huge difference to your business, and having a website can really lead you to a number of new clients, a significant increase in income that is going to outweigh the cost of creating that website. So I talk to quite a lot of translators who say things like, yeah, I kind of know I need to have a website. I haven't got around to it yet. I'm thinking about it. I'm planning it. I'm investigating it. Well, I think you really need to take that next step and get it done. That doesn't mean you need to do it yourself, but you do need to get it done. So it's if you believe that it is important that you have a website, then you really should go ahead and make it happen one way or the other, because it is going to lead in most cases to that increase in income over time. And one of the things that I love about a website, I mean, I really love this topic, but one of the things I love about having a website is it can become one of your digital homes online, and you can have digital assets on your website. You can have evergreen content that is going to be valid or relevant for a number of years. And that piece of content, let's say one piece of content, can attract people to your website for many years to come. So there's some really strong reasons for having a website. But let's say you accept that, you know that you need to have a website, then I really encourage you to take action, and I'm going to try and help you in this podcast. So how do you go about setting up a website? Well, there's a couple of different ways of doing this. One way is to hire a web designer, and to spec out your site, design it with them. Don't just let them design it on their own. I think it's important that you have some input in terms of the functionality and the design that you want for your website, so that you're going to be happy, and so that your users or your visitors are going to be happy when they visit your website, and they're going to find it clear, and they're going to find the sections that they're looking for, and so on. So you can work for a designer that is effectively outsourcing the whole project to someone else. That might cost anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 or even more dollars, depending on the website. So that's obviously quite a significant cost for many people. However, it needs to be weighed up against the potential for future income. So while $2,000 to $5,000 might sound like quite a lot, it isn't going to be a lot if it turns out to be an amazing investment that attracts tens of thousands of dollars of new business to you. So that's one way to do it, is to hire a designer. The other way is to do it yourself. Use a content management system such as WordPress, which I think is the easiest and the best to use, and to work from a template. You can download a template in WordPress. I usually work with templates that cost around $50, and then I just work on those templates, and a lot of it is drag and drop. A lot of it is easy to edit, and I can add different pages and edit different sections, and I really quite enjoy working in WordPress. So for me, it's something that I've got the hang of over a few years, and I quite like working in WordPress. And there's a little bit of a learning curve there for sure, but it is quite interesting. And I feel that I have control over my websites as well, because one of the first websites that I created I can't remember exactly how much it cost, but a few hundred dollars. And then the problem was that a few months later, I wanted to go back and change something. And I had to go back to the designer again, and they charged me another few hundred dollars to make a few small changes. And I just felt so helpless in terms of being able to edit and change things on my own website. So whether you design your website or not, I think it makes sense that you are able to edit things on your website. And if you do work with a designer, one thing that you can do is ask them to include in the price a couple hours of tutorials, or even 1 hour of training, so that you are able to go into certain pages and just change the odd word, or to change your phone number or something like that. So option one is to work with the designer. Option two is to do it yourself. And when you go for option two, what normally happens to me is at some point I get stuck, and I get stuck with something that is just too technical or too difficult and requires a certain plugin or a little bit of coding, and I don't know any coding at all, or very little. And then I go on to Upwork, and I will find a designer who will help me to achieve what it is that I'm trying to achieve on the website. And normally working with those designers is going to be relatively cheap compared to hiring a designer to do the whole site. So I might pay $20 or $50 for someone to do some changes, whereas it might be several thousand dollars for someone to do the whole website. So when I do it myself, I've got the cost of the template plus the cost of any changes. So it really is a relatively cheap way of getting your own site up. And it is not impossible, okay? It's not something that's going to take you 5 minutes, but it's not something that is impossible, because these templates have changed over time. So what used to be something quite difficult to do is nowadays relatively easy. So before, you had to code the whole website, and you needed to be a programmer essentially. Whereas nowadays, it helps if you have a good idea how things work, if you are tech savvy, but you don't need to know all of the detail in order to be able to create a website. So I think that's a big advantage. There is an easier way of doing this, and that is to go to a site such as Wix.com, W-I-X.com, and they will include everything for you. It's really, really easy to set up a website. The thing I don't like about Wix.com is that there's a monthly charge involved, and so I prefer to go down the WordPress route and install a WordPress theme on a domain name. So the first thing you're going to need is a domain name. So you need to go to GoDaddy.com or something similar, and buy a domain name that works for you, and try not to choose something too specific in case you try to change track a little bit later on. So if you choose something like FrenchTranslatorLondon.com and then you move to Boston, then well, that's not going to be that great anymore, is it? So think about how your business might change in the future when you are choosing your domain name. Once you have your domain name, you need to host your domain name somewhere, and one way of doing that is to go to a host such as Bluehost or SiteGround. I use SiteGround. I find that to be very good, and they will charge you on an annual basis for hosting your web files. So your website files need to sit somewhere, and they will sit on the host. So you need a domain name, you need a host, and you need to link the two of those together. So I won't go into all the detail right now, but that's in principle how that works. And then you can get started with designing using a template. A template is technically is called a theme, a WordPress theme. So you install a theme, and then you get to work with your design. And as I mentioned earlier, work with a designer if you need any further guidance. So whichever way you go about it, I really think you do need to focus on having a website. That's the first thing. And then once you have your website, or when you are designing your website, you need to think about the flow of visitors through your website and what are the most important things on your site. So the first thing I would say is think in terms of what the client is looking for, the potential client is looking for. And that usually means that it's not so focused on you. If you look at a lot of translator websites, it really is focused on them as a translator in terms of their experience and qualifications. And that needs to go somewhere. However, I don't think that should be front and center in terms of how it's displayed. I think you really need to focus on helping your clients. How can you help your clients? What type of people are coming to your website, and how can you attract them? How can you engage with them? How can you explain that you are there to help them? And then as part of that, think about how your qualifications and experience can help them to solve a problem. But your website is there as a portal to help a client solve a problem. It's not there to showcase how great you are as a translator, although that is part of the sales and marketing process. So I hope that makes sense. But I really think the focus on the website should be on the client and how you can help the client. And it's similar to those LinkedIn taglines that say things like helping small and medium-sized companies open new markets with language services or anything similar to that. It's about the client first and about how you can help the client first. So then that is going to guide you in some of the text and the content creation. And then think about the flow. So how is someone going to come into your website? They might come in through a blog post that's been indexed on Google, or they might come in through a search, or they might come in through a paid ad. Then they're going to land on your website. What are they going to see, and what is their experience going to be? And what would you like them to do when they're on that website? So you don't want them, what you don't want them to do is to come on your website and read a couple of articles and disappear, or to come on your homepage and move the mouse around for a minute and then disappear. You want them to move on to the next stage. And for many, many translators, the next stage is to quote a document. So on the translator sites that I've developed, I like to have a little button that says get a free quote or something like that, because I'm imagining that most of my business is going to come that way. So people have come to the website because they're interested in translation services, and now what do they want to know? They've seen enough on the website, hopefully, that convinces them that I can offer them those translation services. And now what do they need? Well, now they need a quote. So I like to then have a get a free quote button that leads to a contact form that where they can add their document, they can add their details and send it off to me. And then I can get back to them with a tailored quote. So that's the flow. I would encourage you to think in terms of what flow might work for you. It might be different if you're an interpreter. It might be different if you want to display your prices up front. There's no necessarily right or wrong answers on all of this, but you do need to think about it. So I think that's one thing. Think about the flow. Then the next thing I would encourage you to think about is the content creation. So a website nowadays shouldn't be a static object. It shouldn't be this shop window that's set up with a list of pages that detail your services and about you and the services that you offer and your location and your phone number and everything else, and then just left there. So all of those things can be on your website, yes, and they typically make up the pages. A website is often made up of pages and posts. But then you have the posts where you can add content on a weekly or monthly basis. And I think this is very, very important. A website, in order to be effective, should be a kind of living website, a regularly updated website. That is going to get you more points with Google as well, if you like. So Google is going to list websites that are regularly updated higher up in their rankings than websites that haven't been updated for ages. So take a moment to think about what kind of content is relevant to your audience. And you need to understand your audience as well. So your audience probably is not going to be, in the most part, other translators. It's going to be clients in a certain sector. So you need to write for those clients. If you don't feel that you want to be writing blog posts, maybe it's something that you can outsource. You don't have to do blog posts. You can do videos. You can do audio. But you need to have some kind of content on a regular basis, in my opinion. So that's content creation. That content creation is going to bring more and more people into your website. What are they going to do when they're on the website? They're going to take action. They're going to ask for that free quote. They're going to fill in the contact form. And then essentially you're going to have a website that generates leads on a regular basis. Now, of course, not everyone that comes to your website is going to click on that button. This is where all the percentages come in and the relevant, how much traffic you get to your website, but how much targeted traffic as well. How many people who visit your site are actually interested in buying translation services, and that will come down to keywords and paid traffic and other considerations. But in general, you need to think about that flow or that process. And I think content creation on a regular basis is going to attract the right people. If you produce great content, it will get shared automatically. As it gets shared, it will get linked to, it will put that page higher up in the Google rankings, and more people will land on your website. Now, one way to kickstart your performance, if you like, on your website is to pay for ads. Google Ads is a very good way of doing that. So you can have paid traffic to your website. When someone types a specific keyword into Google, you can have your ads appear. When someone clicks on that ad, you will pay a certain cost per click. And that's all in the Google Ads system and how you set it up. But really, you can get targeted traffic because people are looking for a specific service. So if someone is looking for a French to English translator and they type that into Google and your advert shows up, when that person clicks through to your website, they are already someone who is very interested in that service. And therefore, they're more likely to click on that button and more likely to ask for a quote. So that's Google Ads. I think it's a fantastic way of really getting targeted traffic to your website. And it works very, very successfully. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars on Google Ads over the years, and they've worked very, very well for me indeed. So that's another thing to consider. And finally, I'd like to talk a little bit about multilingual websites. You can set up a multilingual website with a plugin called WPML. Again, not impossible to do on your own, but if you don't feel that you want to do it on your own, then you can obviously hire someone to do it. But there is I have a module in the course on how to set up a multilingual website with WPML or WordPress multilingual with a plugin or an add-on that goes into WordPress, if you like. So often, why would you want to do this? Well, often if you are trying to attract customers in different markets, then they're going to like to read about your services in their own language. People are much more likely to buy something when someone is selling it to them in their own language. It's just the way things go. And therefore, if you are trying to attract clients in Germany, you really need to write in German. You can't expect to write in English. And for those clients to fully understand, or those potential clients to fully understand what it is that you are saying and how your services work, you really need to write in their own language. And that's where a multilingual website comes in. So that's another thing that you should keep in mind. So I think there's quite a lot to creating a website and running it effectively, but it can become such a powerful tool for you over time, especially if you are adding additional content, especially if you have paid ads. And I think it's something as well that I love because it works automatically for you once it has been set up. So this is something that is working while you are not working. Someone can be searching for a term on Google while you are sleeping. Someone can be filling in your contact form while you are away from the office, and so on and so on. So I think having a website is just very, very powerful. And that's why I said at the beginning that I believe most people actually would benefit from having a translator website. So that's been a very brief introduction. If you'd like to find out more about this topic, I really suggest that you check out the course at training.pros.com. It's called How to Set Up a Website and Build Your Translation Brand online, and it includes 5 sessions. So you'll learn SEO basics and how to create landing pages. You'll learn how to set up a translator website using WordPress. You'll learn how to build your brand with content marketing, how to use Google Ads to increase your revenue, and how to create a multilingual website with the WordPress multilingual plugin, WPML. So that's 5 hours, 5 sessions. You also get email support and a certificate of attendance, as you do with allpros.com courses. And it's something that's going to help you to set up your website. So if you're the kind of person that's been thinking about this for a while and thinking, well, I really need to have a website, well, I really need to have some way of getting more traffic to my website and getting more clients online because I've heard that it works for so many other people, and it really does, then if that's you, then I would suggest that you take a look at that course. It's available at a really good price for all of the value that is included in those 5 modules, and I would suggest you take a look at it. So that's how to set up a website and build your translation brand online. If you have any questions, then please let me know. But if you're thinking about setting up a website and really making more progress online, then, well, I think now is probably as good a time as any. So I hope you found this useful in some way. Please let me know if you have any questions. All the very best, and I'll be back next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.